Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7. Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava and text number 45.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tejasvi Tapasadito.
Tejasvi Tapasadito.
Tejasvi, brilliantly luminous. Tabasa, by intoxicity. Deeptaha, glowing. Durdhasa,
unshakable.
Udarabhajana,
eating only that needed by his stomach.
Sarva, everything. Bhakshya, eating. Api,
even though.
Yukta Atma, one who is fixed in spiritual life. Na adate, does not assume. Malam,
contamination.
Agnivat,
like the fire.
Translation. Saintly persons become powerful by execution of austerity. Their consciousness is unshakable because they do not try to enjoy anything within the material world. Such naturally liberated sages accept foodstuffs that are offered to them by destiny. And if by chance they happen to eat contaminated food, they are not affected. Just like fire, which burns up contaminated substances that are offered to eat.
These are the purport by servants of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
The word Udara Bhajana indicates that a saintly person eats only to keep body and soul together and not for sense gratification. One should eat palatable foodstuffs to maintain one's mind in a cheerful mood. However, one should not eat luxuriously because this will cause sex desires and laziness. A saintly person is always a perfect gentleman and is never greedy or lusty. Although Maya tries to defeat him by offering different material allurements, ultimately these attractive material features are themselves defeated by the spiritual power of a saintly person. Thus, one should never disrespect a spiritually advanced personality, but should worship him reverentially. To carelessly approach a Krishna conscious personality is just like carelessly approaching fire, which immediately burns if not handled properly. The Lord does not excuse mistreatment of a pure devotee.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामन्यं ददाति स्वापदाम्बिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदगमनं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणाधिनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणालिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते संप्रतकांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So in this verse, these characteristics mentioned here are that of a pure devotee. As yesterday Prabhuji was mentioning different characteristics of pure devotee, here this example is given is that of an avadhut brahmana who is beyond rules and regulations. So in this regard, one very interesting point that I found in the purport, and I thought I would start speaking based on that point. Then maybe we'll come back to some other points. So here the purport says that although Maya tries to defeat him by offering different material allurements, ultimately these attractive material features are themselves defeated by the spiritual power of a saintly person. So for anyone, a practicing devotee, a non-devotee, an advanced devotee, for anyone, Maya tries to attack. So the allurements of Maya is present for everyone. So it is like, you know, there is one characteristic of thought as described in Bhagavad Gita, that is Sarvagata. Sarvagata means soul is present everywhere because it is always mixed with matter, all the time. So this is speaking about the material world. So in the same way, when we speak about Maya, Maya is also Sarvagata, everywhere. Wherever you go, Maya is present. It is like one devotee was complaining to Srila Prabhupada that he has so much of Maya, so I want to go to forest. So Prabhupada said, okay, you can go to forest, but Maya will follow you. Because Maya is present everywhere. So it doesn't matter where we are present, or how much advanced we are, or how much less advanced we are, doesn't matter, there is attack of Maya. Okay, so in this regard, what I thought about to speak is, there is one nice analysis given regarding the process of bhajan, the process of devotion service. Especially when we speak about bhajana kriya, it is devotion service under the guidance of a senior devotee, under the guidance of an advanced devotee. So as we understand, there are different stages of devotion. First stage is known as Shraddha, or a little bit of faith. So when devotees come to Krishna consciousness, you know, they come with a little bit of faith. Without that little bit of faith, it is not possible to start the process of devotion service. That faith can be carried from the previous lifetime, or it can be generated by the causeless mercy of a devotee in this lifetime itself. That should be because of performance of some devotional activity unknowingly, known as Ajnata Sukriti. So this Shraddha, in a practical sense, you know, the little bit of faith, it may be from, you know, the first scoop of halava in the mouth, you know, when the ghee is dripping and the, you know, it is very sweet and, you know, there's a lot of sugar. That should be the first step in a devotional service for many people. So that is the beginning of devotion service. So tasting Krishna through the tongue. So once we get a little bit of Shraddha, we come to a conclusion, okay, these people are good, the devotees are not that bad people as I thought before. And what they are speaking make a little bit of sense, even though it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'll give it a try. Maybe I'll come to temple, or, you know, maybe eat more in the restaurant, or, you know, go for Sunday feast, like that. So they come in association with the devotees. So that is the next stage of devotion service, as Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in Nectar Devotion in Bhagavad Gita. That is Sadhu Sangha. So anyone who has to come up in the process of devotion service has to come through the stage of Sadhu Sangha, or the association with the devotees. Okay. So it doesn't mean the Shraddha is finished there. He will have more Shraddha.
So the point is, when one progresses from one level to the next, that is from Shraddha to Sadhusanga, it doesn't mean the Shraddha is finished, but he has more Shraddha and he will be carrying forward that Shraddha along with that. It does apply to the further stages also. That is, when Sadhusanga, when he moves on to Bhajana Kriya, then he has still Sadhusanga, he has more mature faith. So all these features came before, it all carry forward. So when a devotee actually tries to take shelter of a spiritual master and, you know, tries to practice devotional service or takes guidance from devotees, especially senior devotees, and tries to practice devotional service in a more serious manner, then he is in the stage of Bhajana Kriya or serious devotional service or an attempt to perform serious devotional service. So he has basic understanding of Shastra, he knows how to take guidance. Now, here this Avadhut Brahman, the qualities of Avadhut Brahman, it is very very high, very very exalted. So we can see this characteristic, this is the stage of Nishtha. Not in the ladder Nishtha, as I was explaining just before. The Nishtha is carried forward even to the highest stage, even the stage of Prema, that Nishtha is present, but to the highest degree. That Nishtha means the steadiness in devotional service. Here, whatever is happening, even the Nayas, allurement, or giving unpalatable or unofferable food to such a devotee, he is accepting. Still, he is not deviating from the path of devotional service. He remains fixed in devotional service. So we can see he is already, his Nishtha is perfectly achieved. So the stage of Bhajana Kriya or devotional service done with seriousness under the guidance of a senior devotee is very important, and one has to go through the stage of Bhajana Kriya to progress further. So we can see many of us are sort of attempting to do Bhajana Kriya because we try to take guidance from senior devotees, and supposedly we try to perform devotional service seriously, at least we attempt. So in this regard, there is a very nice analysis given regarding what are the different stages in the practice of devotional service in this particular stage. That is, when we attempt to practice devotional service more seriously under the guidance of a senior or advanced devotee. So generally this stage is classified into two. One is, it is Anishtha, that is unsteady. So I particularly chose this part because it makes a lot of sense to me. When I was reading, you know, at least I think a couple of months back, this section of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis, I was thinking, oh, it is a kind of mirror reflection of what I am going through. So I thought I would share this because finally it explains how one comes to the platform of steadiness. As here, Avadhut Brahman is pointing out his steadiness in devotional service. So this Anishtha, ah, means, you know, exactly the opposite of Nishtha. So that is the reason Nishtha and then Anishtha. Anishtha means not Nishtha or unsteady. So in the first step of Anishtha, this is called, a person is very very enthusiastic about devotional service. So we think, okay, being enthusiastic, it is really good. Because as we have heard in Nectar of Instructions, Utsaha is very prime, important characteristics of a devotee. A devotee should be enthusiastic. But a devotee, when he starts the process of devotional service, he is called Utsaha Mayi. There is a difference between Utsaha and Utsaha Mayi. That is, he has sudden enthusiasm. That is, everyone has gone through, or, you know, still going through. That is, you know, suddenly one day, you know, so much fired up, you know, he knows everything, thinks, you know, I am very knowledgeable, I am scholarly, I know the whole process of devotional service, now I can preach to anyone, you know, I know, because I got it, I know very nicely. So this is a stage of Utsahamayi, or showing so much of sudden enthusiasm. It is like the example given, for instance, if somebody does, you know, there are in graduates, you go to university, there are different degrees. One is bachelor's, master's, PhD, like that. So that's the progression. So if somebody does some education, goes for the university, does a bachelor's degree, after the graduation, he thinks mainly, you know, I know the field, I want to get a job in a good company, you know, I should get a good salary, maybe a multinational company, and you know, everything will be fine, you know, I know what I have to do. I have studied all this thing, I know the field very nicely. So this is the stage, you know, but actually if you think, he does not know fully the field, he know a little bit. And on the job, you know, he'll, you know, actually he'll kick, get some kicks from the boss, you know, do this, do the other thing, you know, you don't know much, you know. Practically he does not know much. So this is the stage of utsahamayi or the sudden enthusiasm. And if you see in the material study, if somebody does masters, he narrows down his field a little bit further. He will have some selected topics, he will study a few things, and then he will come to know, he does not know that much. Previously I thought I knew a lot of things, but now I know only a selected field, and I know this much, but no further. So this is a sign of further advancement. And if somebody goes for research and he does a PhD, then it becomes very obvious that he does not know much. So after the PhD, one is convinced that in one field in which he has done a PhD, he does not know much. There is too much left. It is a real conviction that one gets after doing a PhD. So this is the stage. So this is the sign of advancement in knowledge. In the same way, this utsahamayi devotee, you know, even if he preaches, what happens? He will give heavy dose. You know, maybe half an hour of the conclusions of all the scriptures presented, you know, in a full fashion. You know, it's like, you know, Brahma Samhita class, the full chart I have, this experience I have, anyway, so I can explain. There was one Brahma Samhita chart. Now what is there? I don't know. It's used to available, you know, from material world to the spiritual world, the whole thing, the whole full story there, all the plans. So, when somebody new comes, Prabhu comes, this is the whole, our full philosophy is described in this chart. And you start from, you know, this is Krishna. First expansion, Baladev, okay, first quadruple, second quadruple, from there the Vaikuntha planet, okay, then Garbhodaya, you know, Karnadaya, Vishnu, Kshirodaya, Vishnu, like that, you know, it just goes on. And finally says, look at here, this is the material world, and here you are. And this is the process. So, he becomes completely bewildered, because he, you know, I didn't expect this much. You know, this is, you know, I just came, you know, had some prasadam, hala was good, but, you know, one full dose in one go. So this is the, you know, the enthusiasm, sudden enthusiasm of a neophyte preacher, you know, it just goes on. And sometimes, you know, a full description, you know, somebody is coming new, full class on fourth regulative principle, you know, in detail, you know, full analysis. And, you know, without giving the positive side, just give the restriction part. So this is, you know, this is just sudden enthusiasm. And they will scare people away. So Prabhupada once told, you know, scaring people away, that is foolishness. One should try to attract rather than to scaring people away. Should give what is really required, not, you know, just give the full thing. Whatever you have learned or heard for past 1 year, given 10 minutes. So that will be difficult. So from this stage, the devotee is progressing. That is, he understands, okay, now I am practicing devotional service. He is very enthusiastic. So just like a person who has joined work recently after his graduation, when he walks under a boss, he understands, okay, I have some difficulties. Few things if he gives, okay, first of all, many times what happens, if you go to work, a technical job, after you go and grab you a big book, okay, take it, first study this. Whatever you have studied, that is pretty much basic or useless. Now take this, you study this. So when he gets and when he starts reading, he may understand a few things, but after that, not really. And a few things, oh, this, you know, it's so difficult to understand. So he becomes apathetic. Or becomes a bit, you know, it is difficult, and it's not like as I thought to be, it's a bit difficult. So his enthusiasm goes down, comes to a state of lethargy, you know, a bit of lazy, it's, you know, not really good. This is like a devotee, you know, even though initially very fired up to do service, fired up to lead Kirtan, fired up to chant, fired up to read, you know, studying all the verses, but now it is like sometimes a lot of interest in studying scriptures, in chanting, and sometimes no interest. And it is a big struggle. He can't really do it. You know, I don't want to do it, you know, and following all the principles or the regulations, this is too much. It's so difficult. So this is kind of, you know, two sides of the coin, you know, one side is enthusiastic and sometimes not enthusiastic. So this is a very good example of unsteadiness, anishta, because, you know, we can see it's not much difficult, you know, sometimes a lot of enthusiasm to get up, chant, mangalarati, everything, but sometimes no. Even for preaching, you know, sometimes enthusiastic to preach, sometimes not. So one goes through this stage. This is called Ghana Saral. Ghana means heavy, full steady. And Saral means very low, lazy. So this is the two sided. So in this state, when devotee continues, that is, you know, a bit sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes not. Anyway, he is continuing the process of devotional service. Even though there is not much enthusiasm, the point is, in Bhajana Kriya, when we practice devotional service, we follow. Whether we have enthusiasm or not, just continue somehow or other. Just push, keep going. And then he comes to a stage, this is called Vyudha Vikalpa. A stage in which a lot of doubts arise. That is, you know, about the determination. A lot of questions arise, a lot of doubts arise in the path. So a very nice example given here is, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, some devotees, you know, young devotees, they think, you know, shall I join Brahmachari Ashram, you know, become a Brahmachari, dedicate full time in service of Krishna? Or, you know, he thinks in that direction because that is the conclusion of the scripture, okay, you can, you know, you can do full time service, you know, ultimately what is the whole purpose? Okay, we have to do devotional service full time. So maybe I should, you know, don't worry about my career, don't worry about this, don't worry about the other things. Just, you know, let me be completely fixed in devotional service. And next moment the thought comes, oh, couple of phone calls from overseas, you know, oh, what happened to my parents, you know? So next question arises in the heart. Oh no, I know I shouldn't do this, you know, because you know I have to, you know, I have so many other responsibilities, so I shouldn't do this. And again, when he continues, again another thought arises in the mind. He says, look, Narada Muni is saying, Tekva Sadharmam Charanambujam Hare, that you can even give up Sadharmam. You can give up your own occupational duty. Sadharmam you can give up because you are approaching the lotus feet of the Lord, Charanambujam Hare. So he's saying, okay, and even apakva. Apakva means even one is immature, he is not at all fixed in devotional service, if he does not know what he is doing, still doesn't matter, you approach Krishna and serve him. So this instruction comes to the mind. So he thinks, oh, maybe doesn't matter, whatever happens, okay, let me go on. Then after a few minutes, or maybe a few days, or a few weeks, again thought comes in the mind. No, but after all, I am very weak. You know, I have to understand the reality. I am very weak. I cannot push forward, you know, like this, you know. I shouldn't consider, you know, taking full-time devotional service, you know. I should stay back, you know, I should do something, you know, like that. And if it's like, you know, Grihastha, you know, maybe thinking, you know, maybe I should go, give up everything and go and live in Vrindavan for the rest of my lifetime and engage oneself in 9 process of devotional service. And he will take all the instruction from Shastra, that actually supports that statement. Of course, there are enough instructions in the Shastra that support, you know, full renunciation, and that supports, you know, okay, you have a nice family and make a family a temple, make everyone in the family devotee. So both sides there are enough instructions. So he goes from one set of instructions to other set of instructions. So in that way, he is a bit confused. And he does not know exactly what to do. Anyway, as I was explaining earlier, the devotee continues. It's in the stage of Bhajana Kriya, in the process of devotional service. Even if it is unsteady, it doesn't matter. He continues devotional service. So when he further continues devotional service, he comes to some conclusions. Okay, I should choose a particular material situation to serve Krishna and be steady in that situation, and let me serve Krishna. He may take guidance from the senior devotees, and Krishna with his help, when one sincerely follows the process of devotional service and a combination of these two, one comes to a right conclusion, and he actually be situated in a material situation which is favorable for devotional service. So it doesn't matter what, whichever ashram, doesn't matter, or you know, sometimes whichever varna, doesn't matter, but he fixes himself in the process of devotional service. So that is good. So does it finish there? It doesn't finish there. So one is, you know, material circumstances are fine. He is starting the process of devotional service, he is engaged in devotional service. Now there is something which is actually coming. That is, the strong material desires come back to the devotees. So we think everything is fine, now my mind is not so confused, everything is fine, I'm situated properly, things are favorable. But this stage is called Vishaya Sangara. Vishaya Sangara means, Vishaya is of course the sense objects. Sense objects keep coming to our mind and it agitates the senses and the mind. So here we have the question of that there is always a tug of war. One side, you know, in this stage everyone has a conviction that one should follow devotional service. There is conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and the ultimate aim is to perform devotional service. So we have all this conviction, but at the same time the pulling of the senses are very strong. So the senses are pulling in one direction, and the understanding and little bit of taste we have for devotional service and determination we have to do devotional service, that is pulling from the other side. So it is a stage of tug of war. So there is, from both sides there is pulling. And what happens in tug of war? What happens? Sometimes one party wins and sometimes other party wins. So it doesn't matter, you can go in both directions. So sometimes the devotee is fine, no problem, he is successful. You know, he is able to control his senses, he is able to control his mind and is able to perform devotional service. But some other time, no, not really. That is, the senses and the desires becomes, you know, overwhelming and sometimes overcomes the desire to perform devotional service. So sometimes success, sometimes failure. So this is also very interesting. This is also a very interesting feature of Anishta, that is how we are unsteady and how our mind and senses are pulling in one direction. And sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, I shouldn't go for a movie, you know, but, you know, oh, my friends are okay telling, you know, it's a nice movie, you know, I haven't, you know, it's okay, you know, I'll give it a try, you know. Okay, anyway, devotees won't watch, you know, I won't tell you anyone, you know, go and watch a movie. And sometimes we see, you know, some DVDs, you know, the hidden agenda, you know, okay, watching, if somebody, no one is there, okay, watch a movie. Because the attachment from the previous time, attachment from, you know, few months or few years back, what we are used to, that is coming back and pulling us. And also, when one fails down, that is very interesting feature. That is when a devotee in this stage, when he is unsteady and when he fails in his determination, that is when he becomes actually captured by the desires of sense gratification, and when he actually falls down in that respect, still he feels very regretful. He doesn't think that, okay, whatever I have done is very good and at least I enjoyed it for a while, that's good, let me come back. No, he feels very regretful and morose for whatever he has done wrong. So that is considered very good because he is accepting his failure and still engaging in the devotional service. And one important thing is he is feeling himself helpless, because the pulling of the senses are very strong and the desires of the mind are very strong. So he feels himself helpless. I want to very nicely perform devotional service. I want to chant nicely. I want to be attentive in my chanting. I want to follow the regulatory principles nicely to the fullest extent. But the desires and the senses are so strong that he feels himself helpless. I don't have any help. I have to, you know, go other way sometimes. But from this, actually one comes to a stage in which he doesn't have that much of helplessness. Rather, he feels a little bit more confident in following the principles of devotional service. He can actually perform devotional service without much of tug of war with the senses or the mind. So this is called Niyama Kshama. In Niyama Kshama, actually the devotee is able to perform devotional service even though there is some pulling of the senses, but it is not so strong. It is very little. It's very little. It is, you know, it's not coming, it's not pulling the sadhana to the other side all the time. Or it is not giving him a hard time to follow the regulatory principles. However, in this stage, the key problem is that he is not able to make further advancement. So further advancement means more involvement in devotional service, more intense sadhana. That is, we think, okay, I may take a vow, you know, on Ekadashi days, I will chant 8 extra rounds. Which is good, because that's how we can make progress. That is, doing the devotional service with a higher consciousness, with more absorption, more focus, etc. And increasing the quantity. So both increasing quality and quantity. So devotee feels I should increase both quality and quantity of my devotional service. However, when he attempts to do that, it may not be successful all the time. That is, he becomes, okay, he takes a vow that is, for every Ekadashi I will chant 8 extra rounds. But when the Ekadashi comes, either something will go wrong and mind will play a trick. And okay, finally we'll say, okay, lucky I finished at least 16 rounds today. Fine, I'm very happy with that. So this is the stage where one tries to make higher objectives in devotion service, and makes a commitment, I will chant all the rounds attentively. And but there is a problem. The mind goes everywhere and again tries to bring it back like that. And sometimes, okay, I will not talk nonsense. But sometimes it comes naturally. I will not associate with non-devotees, I will try to keep away from them as much as possible. But it doesn't work like that. And also, I won't criticize Vaishnavas. We have heard so much in Shastras, okay, from this time onwards, I don't want to criticize Vaishnavas even to a small degree. I will not listen. Even if somebody is criticizing Vaishnava, I will just leave that place. So we make this kind of vow, we want to follow that, but sometimes just a failure, cannot follow that. So this is the actual difference between the previous stage and this stage. In the previous stage, the devotee was helpless because of the pulling of senses and the mind. And at this stage, the difference is, he is little bit okay with the senses and mind, little bit. But at the same time, he cannot make further advancement. That is, he cannot increase the quality or quantity. It becomes a bit difficult to increase both these things. However, as this is the stage of Bhajanakriya, so he still continues, pursues the path of devotion service. He doesn't give up, he continues. And then, actually when he continues like this, by trying to increase his determination to associate with devotees and try to give up the material attachments and try to give up nonsensical association, then he can actually obtain the good qualities of a devotee. As Nectar Devotion says, a devotee manifests good qualities, very auspicious qualities. So here we can see the devotee gets good qualities, he is able to preach, he is able to attract people, but at the same time there is a big problem that can act as stumbling block in the process of devotion service. So that is called, wealth, adoration, distinction and so on. Many material facilities that comes on the way. So for any devotee who is trying to preach, who is trying to perform devotion service nicely, there is always a high chance that the material facilities will come on his path. So this material facilities, it is good and bad. It is good in one sense if it is used in service of Krishna, but it is bad if one gets attached to those things. So that is a big trouble. It's a testing phase. Because it is called Taranga Rengini. Taranga means waves, Rengini means actually playing. So if a devotee actually doesn't care for these things and if he just considers it very lightly, then it is a success. But if he gets attracted to these things, then it is detrimental to one's own devotional service. So it is said that in this process, when one is engaged in the sadhana bhakti, when one is engaged in the process of devotional service, one will go through this phase, that is getting wealth, getting adoration, respect, followers, etc. So this principle is actually applicable individually and collectively. That is, a person if he is doing devotional service and preaching, he can get all these facilities. And if his organization, if he is doing the whole thing nicely, say like ISKCON, the more facilities will come. When he is nicely engaged in devotional service, all of the devotees, and nicely preaching, the material facilities will come. So this is an example of Bhakti Siddhanta Sastri Thakur. He was a saint, he was a saintly person, he didn't have anything practically materially speaking. When he was about to embark on his preaching mission, he was chanting few lakhs of holy names in one, for every day, many, many hours like that. He was chanting for a few years. I think he took a vow to chant how many, I can't remember exactly how many lakhs of names. Sorry? 1 billion. So he took a vow that I will chant 1 billion names before I start the whole process of whole mission of preaching. So he sat and he started chanting, and every day he continued. It took few years for him to finish that chanting, and then he continued. He started with the preaching mission. So at that point he didn't have any material facilities, no material facilities. But he said, why, when he was making plans for preaching, he was mentioning, you know, doesn't matter, I don't have any money, because the money will come, it is there. If he had a pure desire, the money will come, and the preaching will become successful, all the facilities for the preaching will come. He continued the preaching, and of course, it became very successful. And it came to an extent that his, not only Bhakti Siddhanta himself, but also his disciples were preaching. They also became so strong preachers. So it was a whole group, it was a whole congregation preaching. It was said at one point, the Mayavadis, they will run away even to see a neophyte disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta. So powerful was the preaching mission of Bhakti Siddhanta. So he continued to the preaching mission, and all the material facilities changed. That is, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentioned, we need to have a temple which is really spacious, very beautiful, and marble structure. That's how in Calcutta, the Gaudiya Mission, they constructed a temple which was very high class, in the materially speaking, in the sense, spiritually also, but materially speaking, it was very high class, marble flooring, and enough rooms, big temple, everything. So far, Vaishnavas didn't have such a big temple. There was a bit of difficulty. But Bhakti Siddhanta started a big temple in the most prominent area of Calcutta. It's like, if you have, it's Albert Park is a prominent area. Like city we have, Franklin Street we have, our facilities, like that. So in the heart of the city, he started the temple. Even though he was completely detached, from the material facilities. He was never in the pro, he was never affected by any of the material opulence at all. So his mood was, if there is more money, print books. He will never think, I have more money, so we can live comfortable life for a long time. But he will try to preach more, so that it is good for the whole society. He was thinking, if we have more money and if it is spent in printing books, so the money is finished, and people won't think that, okay, we have money to stay back. And there are more books, so people can go and distribute. So that was one approach of Bhakti Siddhanta. However, some of his disciples got affected by the material opulence. They started even thinking, which room, when we move into the temple, which room for me, that room is for you, this is for me, these facilities are for me, like that. So the disciples among themselves started quarreling. So that is the point. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned to Srila Prabhupada on the banks of Radhakund. He was mentioning there will be fire in the mud, because he could foresee that his disciples were getting affected by the allurements of Maya, that in the form of material facilities. So even if material facilities come, the devotee should keep preaching and should engage those material facilities in service of Krishna. So as you can see, the Prabhupada also, the first instruction given, the main instruction given by Bhakti Siddhanta, not the first one, that is, if you have money, print books. Because the mission was, the preaching should go on irrespective of whatever happens. So when we see this material opulence, there were a few examples actually. Devadatta Swami Maharaj was giving in one of the retreat, I remember, how the material opulence is so powerful. Not only for devotees, even for a normal person, he was giving a few examples of who has won $1 billion lottery, who has won, lot of money, from nothing to huge amount of money. And how the relationship, how the relationship with their wife or husband, with children, with grandfather, with the society, all these things got affected just by the pressure of material opulence, the pressure of money. So whenever we speak about material opulence, it has potency, it has power, because Maya is present in it. So that when that pressure comes, one should know how to deal with that pressure. So why the materialistic people, when the money comes, the whole the life completely shatters in different respects, because they do not know how to handle the material opulence in a positive way. But devotees should know how to do it. It is like, the example is Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, he got puffed up. He was the emperor. He was the emperor of the whole universe. He captured the whole, you know, upper, lower, or planetary system, and he was ruling over. But at the same time, Prahlad Maharaj warned him, okay, you are going not in the right track. Then we can see how the whole pastime happened. You know, Vamadev came, he chastised, and you know, he arrested Bali Maharaj. So at that point, Prahlad Maharaj came, and in the assembly there was Bali Maharaj, who was being punished by the Lord Vamadev in Trivikram form, and Bali Maharaj's wife, then Prahlad Maharaj also. So Prahlad Maharaj makes a very, very, very important statement. He says, Yayahi vidvanadi mukhyate yatha yatha vichaste gatim atmanam param tasmai namaste jagadishraya vai narayanayeti akhilaloka sakshine. He mentioned, even a vidwan, even a person who is learned and he is in the path of self-realization, he gets influenced by the material opulence. So it's actually referring to any devotee who is actually in the process of devotional service. Even they, anyone can get affected by the material opulence. So he mentioned, therefore, the only way I am seeing is Tasmai Namaste Jagadishraya Vai. That is, therefore, indeed, I am paying my obeisances unto Jagadishara, who is the master of the whole universe, who is Narayanaya Iti Akhila Loka Sakshini. Now, he is Lord Narayan, he is Krishna, he is the witness of the whole universe. So he mentioned, so I pay my obeisances, even though I have material opulence, still I pay my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, because I understand the material opulence is detrimental. Now, how actually I describe what is the stage of anishta, you know, unsteadiness, you know, the six kind of unsteadiness for a devotee. So it is explained, Bhagavan actually gives how to actually transcend, how to go through in this stage. What is the process of bhakti that one should perform in this stage of bhajan, in the stage of bhajana kriya, that is the devotional service in practice under the guidance of a senior devotee. So the verse mentioned from Bhagavan is Srinvatam Sukatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayandasto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Sukutsata. That is, a devotee should engage in Krishna's glorification of Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting very nicely. So one should, and doing service, one should engage in the whole process of devotional service and continue. And when he continues in that way, then since Krishna is situated in the heart as a Suhrat, means the most intimate friend, he can actually destroy all the anarthas and he can make our devotional service steady. So one should, irrespective, so that this analysis helps us to see basically our own self. At least it was quite helpful, it was very obvious to see many things within me. The same way, it helps the devotee to see what is there, what is he going through, but at the same time, what is the solution? That is, again, the engagement in devotional service with seriousness. And as it is mentioned here, since a devotee is going through the stage and when he is coming to a steadiness in devotional service, then he is not so much affected by the material allurements. So here it is mentioned, their consciousness is unshakable because they do not try to enjoy anything within the material world. Because he does not want to enjoy, he has not much to do with the material world. So in this case, for the Avadhut Brahmana, he has nothing to do with the material world. He has nothing to enjoy. So he is completely beyond, his determination is completely fixed. And for us, how much we are attached, how much we have desire to enjoy, that much weak will be our determination in devotional service. And also another interesting point mentioned in this verse is, he accepts whatever the footstep, whatever comes by destiny, he just accepts that. He is actually not endeavoring. This is also a very high standard. Just like in Bhagavatam mentioned, the stage of the Python Man, when Prahlad Maharaj, he was trying to find the transcendentalist around the globe. So he was going around and having a look, what are the characteristics of great devotees. So he found this Python Man who was lying down and he was eating, had a big, gigantic body. And he was very fat. So he was wondering, there is something peculiar about this devotee. So he went and approached and asked him, what kind of practice are you doing? I understand you are a great devotee. But, what is the particular, what is the significance of your form? So he explained, I accept whatever comes as a destiny. So he was also avadhut. He was also beyond the rules and regulations, just like the Brahmin here, the avadhut Brahmin. So he accepted whatever came. He said, sometimes a lot of it comes, I eat. And sometimes nothing comes, then I don't. Sometimes a little comes, then I eat that. Like that. So he is showing a supreme detachment. And he is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And for us, it is very difficult. It is beyond our perception. So we take regulated prasadam. So that, here the purport is mentioned. One should take luxuriously, but should take palatable footsteps to maintain one's mind in a cheerful mood. So it is acceptable to take palatable footsteps in a, whatever is required quantity, but not too much luxurious because it can agitate the senses. I think with this I conclude and we see if there is any comments, questions, corrections. Yes,
please. And the verse after the Parivashya Sutra of the Bhagavatam, the verse after that, it mentions that, I can't remember Sanskrit, but it mentions that if one scrutinizingly studies the Bhagavatam in the morning and in the night, then all of your mysteries will be removed.
Thank you.
To support your quoting that verse,
we mentioned that after
Srimatam Swakata Krishna from Yashwara.
Yes.
So by regularly reading the Bhagavatam morning and night, you can remove many of those obstacles. We know that everything's preordained.
Yeah.
By our karma.
Yeah.
So, should we just accept what happens to us as devotees and just do the basics, like saying Jhana 16, manners, and doing our service and so forth? Or are there opportunities that exist where we can extend ourselves and make more advancement?
Extend
ourselves.
Mm.
Like you were saying. Because there's always this, the problem, you extend yourself, but then, like say, one day you wake up and not feeling so enthusiastic, so you just do the basics. So should we just accept things as they come and just do the basic effort? Or should we always try to do extra so that we can make more advancement?
Yes, obviously if we have to make advancement, we need to, my understanding is we need to develop the desire to serve nicely and to perfect the devotional service, whatever we are doing. So we need to, because we have the lack of desire to, sincere desire to make progress. So when we try to develop sincere desire, then one can try to extend, one can try to do the service in a nice way, in a better way, and try to extend ourselves. But as you mentioned, the karma is predestined, but devotional service is not within the realm of karma. So karma has actually nothing to do with our devotional service, or even though the material circumstances and our natural abilities are result of our karma, because everyone has different inclinations, different tendencies, different skill sets. So that are result of our karma. So one point could be, one would be more efficient if one utilizes one skill which is natural to him in devotional service, and if he extends in that direction, that is a, you know, that is we are actually accepting our karma, and at the same time we are using that in service of Krishna. So that way, if we engage and if we try to extend and if we try to increase our desire in that direction, maybe it will be more practical. What do you think? Yeah, that is my answer. What's your comment?
Don't try too hard.
Don't try too
hard. Keep some energy for tomorrow.
So just somebody, what you are telling me is, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a, you know, 100 meter race, it's a marathon, so one should keep going for the, at least one lifetime. Thank you. Oh, you have, yeah.
Like as you mentioned, steadiness in devotional service. So sometimes externally we are steady. Externally we maintain the enthusiasm. We do devotional service. But how to keep that enthusiasm mentally, like all the time? That mental factor.
As Prabhuji actually mentioned, because we don't have actually, you know, the steadiness, one reason is, you know, the main reason is we have anarthas, we have other desires. And when we scrutinizingly study Shastra, Bhagavatam, when we study that and when we try to remember those points, you know, then that really helps us to, that actually motivates us. So there has to be, the devotional service, we just do work. That cannot really, it's very difficult to get enthusiasm, you know, just with devotional service in a practical sense. You know, if we just do practical service all the time, just with that, we cannot sustain. We need chanting, we need a strong chanting, that too with the association of devotees. We need hearing, we need nice study of Shastra, so that in our consciousness, in our mind, in our memory, these things come. You know, whatever we have read in Shastra, you know, the verses glorifying Krishna, etc. You know, when these things come, that actually motivates us. So there has to be something when we think, you know, if we feel completely dull, if we, you know, think about some aspect of Krishna consciousness, you know, then that will give us encouragement. You know, if we see, you know, some verses we like, we chant a few verses that we like, then maybe, you know, suddenly we say, okay, we are enthusiastic, you know. Like there's some, you know, some aspect of devotional service which are very, you know, we have very interest in, you know, when we engage in self and when we think about it, then that gives some enthusiasm. So everything, that the enthusiasm part, the study of Shastra is very important. And otherwise we get caught up in the mind, we become very sentimental. If the Shastric understanding is not strong and if we are not meditating on few points, at least sometime during the day, we can get caught up in the emotions. We go away from the intelligence and it comes to emotion. So, yeah, that is. And anyway, externally we have to perform devotional service. Even if we don't have enthusiasm within, still it is recommended one should externally act. That is, one devotee was mentioning, you know, if you are, you know, not feeling so engaged, you know, just jump in the kirtan at least. So the enthusiasm will come. Like that. Yes.
You just mentioned now how we have to kind of create that balance. There was some of those not meditation dance in this time, right? And for our lifetime. So how do we actually, if we want to make advancement and we want to upgrade the Krishna consciousness, is it dependent on, of course, you know, it's not our own doing. But sometimes we see it trying to actually upgrade, but then it's still just falling down.
Yeah.
So is that the main event where it's just really not fixed?
Yeah.
And if so, like the practice to still keep trying to elevate yourself,
yeah,
is still going on.
Yeah.
Is it like we have intense,
yeah,
natural desire to somewhere going on?
Yeah. Actually, that point, actually, in that particular stage, that is, where we have the desire to improve ourselves in devotional service, both quality and quantity,
And at the same time, we are unable to perform that. Even though we take a vow, as it's mentioned before, still unable to fulfill that. So, particularly in that section, how one can overcome that, one is, of course, we engage in devotional service. Particularly, when we try to fulfill, when we try to particularly get instruction from spiritual master and senior devotees, and when we try to please them, when we get the mercy of the devotees in that way, then actually one makes some progress. As it is, you know, we can even see from Bhagavatam, the verse that is, you know, I can't remember exactly the verse, it's the Vasudeva Katha Riti, that is, one gets the taste to listen Vasudeva Katha, Krishna Katha, when one serves pure devotees. So that principle actually applies in this context. That is, when actually serves the devotees and when it tries to please the instructions of spiritual master and senior devotees, then by that mercy, we actually get the strength to overcome this obstacle. So it's not only the endeavor part, but the mercy is also important. So when we actually try to please them, then by their mercy, actually we can cross over them. So that is one. Yes, bro.
You are mentioning about this six stages of
That's right.
In one of the stages, you said that because as a neophyte devotee, when he is progressing, he's practicing.
Mm.
So there is the third stage, which is Vishaya something.
Vishaya, yeah.
So there you said that the devotee falls, you know, falls down.
Yeah.
So is it common for all the devotees, or if one reaches there, what should be the mood of a person so that before falling he should understand that he is going in a wrong way so that he can continue Krishna consciousness?
So your question is, it's applicable to all. Everyone goes through, you know, I also go through, so everyone goes through the stages. So it's not something unique. It's a common thing. That is, a devotee, because of the previous attractions, you know, previous bad habits, it becomes difficult to strictly follow. And one time he is successful and sometimes he is a failure in terms of following the principles, even just the principle itself. So that happens. So your question is, in that situation,
what should be the mood, or what should
That mood is exactly very nicely explained. The mood is that if he is in that stage, one should be regretful. One shouldn't think whatever has happened, it's all right. You know, you should understand, you know, I want to make progress, but you know, I am unable to, and I have this problem. You know, so that should, the mood should be acceptance, accepting the mistake, rather than, you know, trying to cover, or you know, trying to justify it, or you know, try to philosophize the whole issue. No, one should accept and take on the process of devotional service. Can take guidance from the devotees. Like that. So first point is acceptance means humility. If somebody has to accept one's own mistake, one should be humble. So one should have some humility at this stage to accept his mistake and take the remedy. It's a very nice point. That is, one should basically, Mataji was mentioning, one should transcend from ignorance and passion to the mode of goodness, where one does devotional service as a matter of duty. So that's actually, in this state, it's very interesting. This state of Bhajana Kriya, that part is actually prominent. That is, irrespective of whether it's a neophyte, you know, a lot of enthusiasm, or it's going through the tug of war, as I was mentioning, Vishaya or Saranga, in all these stages, devotee pursuing the path of devotional service. Means he tries to be situated in the mode of goodness. So that is a common, that's a constant, common feature in this whole stage. Yes.
Yes,
sir. Another point. Srila Prabhupada at this time, we have to know that we are not body. He used to say, excuse me, when he went to 67, he was telling the audience, first of all, we have to know that we are not body, we are character soul. That means we know our constitutional position. And then he was telling about unearned liberty and lack of faith. Now, two points where we have lack of faith and anartha, then Maya pulls us very badly. The two structures. So, if we know those two things, then we have to, by devotional service, we can destroy those anartha devotee. And by good association, we get good faith in reason. And then we try to come to more goodness, and then we can embrace.
As one takes up Krishna consciousness, naturally the lower modes will go, and as the devotion increases, it comes to mode of goodness and further transcends from goodness to the pure goodness.
First, we have to know that we are not body, we are third
person. First, we have to understand theoretically.
Practically, yes.
Theoretically, and then act as soul in the process of devotional service.
More devotional service, and then more activity, and then we become more strong.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Whatever money you make, give at least some for Krishna's service. That will increase your faith more.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.